Good Tuesday. Today is June the 3rd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, agricultural groups are calling on Congress to pass the Agricultural Labeling Uniformity Act in a letter to congressional leaders, citing the risk continuing to allow states to place their own labeling demands on pesticide, affecting the different pesticide label laws. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Agricultural groups are asking Congress to reaffirm federal authority over pesticide labeling requirements by passing the Agricultural Labeling Uniformity Act. Now, in a letter sent to House and Senate leaders, 365 groups laid out their growing concerns that, quote, some states have begun to regulate pesticides in a manner contradicting decades of scientific guidance from the Environmental Protection Agency, the group stated. The Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, otherwise known as FIFRA, establishes EPA as the authority to make decisions on how pesticides should be labeled and used. As the letter noted, states are permitted to regulate the sale and use under FIFRA, but are preempted from creating additional labeling requirements or requiring different labeling and packages. Now, nevertheless, in recent years, we have seen action from states that directly and unjustifiably contradicts EPA's scientific findings on pesticide safety. Those moves by states risk creating an inconsistent patchwork of state pesticide labels that can complicate sales and access to crop protection tools. The labeling demands from states also risk jeopardizing public confidence in the EPA's authority and science-based regulations, the groups said. The letter added that growers and users need reaffirmation from Congress that while states have authority to regulate the sale and use of pesticides within their jurisdiction, they cannot impose labeling or packaging requirements in addition to or different from the scientific conclusions of the EPA. Now, 11 attorneys general from Republican-led states, including Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and South Carolina, all petitioned the EPA in January to amend FIFRA to prevent states from requiring labels inconsistent with the EPA's findings, such as pesticides' likelihood to cause cancer, birth defects, or reproductive harm. The attorneys general said such labels by states should be considered misbranded by the product. Now, a lot of complaints go back to California and the decision in 2017 to require warning labels for pesticides such as glyphosate. California listed glyphosate as a known carcinogen, but faced immediate legal challenges. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in 2023 blocked California from enforcing the warning label. Agricultural groups filed an amicus brief earlier this month asking the Supreme Court to hear a petition from Bayer Monsanto in one of its cases tied to more than 1,000 plaintiffs across the country suing Bayer for not warning people that glyphosate causes cancer. Bayer is appealing a ruling against it by the state court in Missouri. The case Monsanto versus Darnell was filed with the Supreme Court back in April. Beyond agricultural groups, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and others have also weighed in so far, arguing that upholding such state-level claims would preempt federal authority. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, late last week, USDA released its latest cattle on feed report, and it gives some interesting insights regarding cattle inventories and how that's reflected in the market prices. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
More tightening of cattle and beef supplies. Per USDA's latest cattle on feed report, livestock analyst Michael McConnell says for the period ending May 1st,
we have relatively smaller inventories in feedlots relative to a year ago with fewer placements and fewer marketings. That's reflective of the overall tighter cattle situation than what we've seen the past couple of years.
By numbers, in the May cattle on feed report,
on feedlots with over 1,000 head, there was 11.38 million head of cattle in those feedlots, which is 2% lower than a year ago. Over the course of the month of April, placements were 1.631 million head. That's 3% lower than a year ago.
With lower placements correlating with limited supplies of cattle, outside feedlots,
which is also reflecting relatively high prices that we're seeing for feeder cattle as well.
McConnell says while there were strong fed cattle placements as late as March of this year,
some of that really just comes down to some seasonal factors or weather, particularly when comparing to a year ago, we had relatively light placements in March of 2024. And so sometimes you gotta be careful when you look at these numbers year over year and keep in mind what was going on the previous year.
That being said,
placements have been trending lower for most of the months in 2025. Again, that's just reflective primarily the fact that we do have and have had pretty tight cattle and cow inventories the past couple of years.
Also directly impacted by less placements in feedlots,
marketings were 1.83 million head, which was also 3% lower than a year ago.
Strong fed steer prices are also driving lower marketings as of May 1st.
And support of wholesale beef prices as well. So even though we have relatively tight inventories of cattle, we're still seeing some pretty strong demand for beef, which is supporting the prices of both fed steer and wholesale beef prices as well.
So in summarizing this month's cattle on feed report,
even with the tighter cattle supplies, we still have pretty robust beef demand. So that's partially why we see higher prices throughout the system. Tighter cattle supplies are leading to supportive prices, with consumer demand for beef still remaining pretty steady.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.